not moved. They vanish tongue-tied in their guiltiness. Go you down that way towards the capital. This way will I. Disrobe the images if you do find them decked with ceremonies.
May we do so? You know it is the feast of Lupercal.
It is no matter! Let no images be hung with Caesar's trophies. I'll about and drive away the bugger from the streets. So do you too, where you perceive them thick. These growing feathers plucked from Caesar's wing will make him fly an ordinary pitch. Who else would soar above the view of men and keep us all in servile fearfulness?
Caesar! Caesar!
Caesar! Caesar! Caesar! Caesar!
Caesar! Caesar! Caesar! Caesar!
Caesar! Caesar! Caesar!
Stand you directly in Antonius' way. We need Athrenus' course. Antonius!
Caesar, my lord.
Forget not in your speed, Antonius, to touch Calpurnia. For our elders say, the baron, touch it in this holy chase. Shake off their sterile curse.
I shall remember. When Caesar says do this, it is performed.
Set on, and leave no ceremony out.
Caesar!
Huh? Who calls?
Be noisy still. Peace yet again.
Who is it in the press that calls on me? I hear a tongue shriller than all the music cry, Caesar. Speak. Caesar is turned to hear.
Beware the Ides of March.
What man is that?
A soothsayer bids you beware the Ides of March.
Set him before me. Let me see his face.
Fellow, come from the throng. Look upon Caesar.
What sayest thou to me now? Speak once again.
Beware the Ides of March.
He is a dreamer. Let us leave him. Pass.
Caesar! Will you go see the order of the course?
Not I.
I pray you do.
I am not gamesome. I do lack some part of that quick spirit that is in Antony. Let me not hinder Cassius your desires. I'll leave you.
Brutus, I do observe you now of late. I have not from your eyes that gentleness and show of love as I was wont to have. You bear too stubborn and too strange a hand over your friend that loves you.
Cassius, be not deceived. If I have veiled my look, I turn the trouble of my countenance merely upon myself. Vexed I am of late with passions of some difference, conceptions only proper to myself, which give some soil, perhaps, to my behaviors. But let not therefore my good friends be grieved, among which number, Cassius, be you one, nor construe any further my neglect than that poor Brutus with himself at war forgets the shows of love to other men.
Then, Brutus, I have much mistook your passion, by means whereof this breast of mine hath buried thoughts of great value worthy cogitations. Tell me, good Brutus, can you see your face?
No, Cassius, for the eye sees not itself, but by reflection, by some other things.
'Tis just, and it is very much lamented, Brutus, that you have no such mirrors as will turn your hidden worthiness into your eye, that you might see your shadow. I have heard where many of the best respect in Rome except immortal Caesar, speaking of Brutus and groaning underneath his age's yoke, hath wished that noble Brutus had his eyes.
Into what dangers would you lead me, Cassius, that you would have me seek into myself for that which is not in me?
Therefore, good Brutus, be prepared to hear. And since you know you cannot see yourself so well as by reflection, I, your glass, will modestly discover to yourself that of yourself which yet you know not of. And be not jealous on me, gentle Brutus. Were I a common laughter, or did use to stale with ordinary oaths my love to every new protester, if you know that I do fawn on men and hug them hard and apt to scandal them, or if you know that I profess myself in banqueting to all the rout, then hold me dangerous.
Caesar! Caesar!
What means this shouting? I do fear the people choose Caesar for their king.
Aye, do you fear it? Then must I think you would not have it so.
I would not, Cassius. Yet I love him well. But wherefore do you hold me here so long? What is it that you would impart to me? If it be aught toward the general good, set honor in one eye and death in the other, and I will look on both indifferently. For let the gods so speed me as I love the name of honor more than I fear death.
I know that virtue to be in you, Brutus, as well as I do know your outward favor. Well, honor is the subject of my story. I cannot tell what you and other men think of this life, but for my single self I'd as lief not be, as live to be in awe of such a thing as I myself. I was born as free as Caesar, so were you. We both have fed as well, and we both can endure the winter's cold as well as he. For once upon a raw and gusty day, the troubled Tiber chafing with her shores, Caesar said to me, "Darest thou, Cassius, now leap in with me into this angry flood and swim to yonder point?" Upon the word, accoutred as I was, I plunged in and bade him follow. So indeed he did. The torrent roared. costly sinews, throwing it aside and stemming it with hearts of controversy. But ere we could arrive the point of repose, Caesar cried, "Help me, Cassius, or I sink." I, as Aeneas, our great ancestor, did from the flames of Troy upon his shoulder the old Anchises bear, so from the waves of Tiber did I the tired Caesar. And this man is now become a god. And Cassius, a wretched creature, must bend his body, if Caesar carelessly but nod on him. He had a fever when he was in Spain, and when the fit was on him, I did mark how he did shake. 'Tis true, this god did shake. His coward lips did from their color fly, and that same eye, whose bend it doth all the world, it did lose his luster. I did hear him groan, aye, in that tongue of his that had the Romans mark him, and write his speeches in their books, alas, and cried, "Give me some drink, Titinius, as a sick girl." Gods, it doth amaze me a man of such feeble temper should so get the start of the majestic world and bear the palm alone.
Caesar! Caesar!
Another general shout. I do believe that these applauses are for some new honors that I heaped on Caesar.
Why, man, he doth bestride the narrow world like a colossus, and we petty men walk under his huge legs and peep about to find ourselves dishonorable graves. Men at some time are masters of their fates. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings. Brutus and Caesar. What should be in that Caesar? Why should that name be sounded more than yours? Write them together, yours is as fair a name. Sound them, it doth become the mouth as well. Weigh them, it's as heavy. Conjure with them, Brutus will start a spirit as soon as Caesar. Now in the name of all the gods at once! Upon what meat doth this our Caesar feed that he's grown so great? Age, thou art shamed. Rome, thou hast lost the breed of noble bloods. When went there by an age since the great flood, but it was famed with more than with one man? When could they say till now that talked of Rome, that her wide walks encompass but one man? Now is it Rome indeed and room enough, when there is in it but one only man? Oh, you and I have heard our fathers say, there was a Brutus once that would have brooked the eternal devil to keep his state in Rome as easily as a king.
That you do love me, I am nothing jealous. What you would work me to, I have some aim. How I have thought of this and of these times I shall recount hereafter. For this present, I would not, so with love I might entreat you, be any further moved. What you have said I will with patience hear, and find a time both meet to hear and answer such high things. Tell then my noble friend you upon this. Brutus had rather be a villager, and to repute himself a son of Rome under these hard conditions as this time is like to lay upon us.
I am glad that my weak words have struck but thus much show of fire from Brutus.
The games are done, and Caesar is returning.
As they pass by, pluck Casca by the sleeve, and he will, after his sour fashion, tell you what hath preceded worthy note today.
I will do so. But look you, Cassius, the angry spot doth glow on Caesar's brow, and all the rest look like a chidden train. Calpurnia's cheek is pale, and Cicero looks with such ferret and such fiery eyes as we have seen him in the Capitol, being crossed in conference by some senators.
Casca will tell us what the matter is.
Antonius, Caesar, let me have men about me that are fat, sleek-headed men, such as sleep o' nights. Young Cassius has a lean and hungry look. He thinks too much. Such men are dangerous.
Fear him not, Caesar. He's not dangerous. He's a noble Roman, and well given.
Would he were fatter? But I fear him not. Yet if my name were liable to fear, I do not know a man I should avoid so soon as that spare Cassius. He reads much. He's a great observer, and he looks quite through the deeds of men. He loves no plays, as thou dost, Antony. He hears no music. Seldom he smiles, and smiles in such a sort as if he mocked himself, and scorned his spirit that could be moved to smile at anything. Such men as he be never at heart's ease, whilst they behold a greater than themselves, and therefore are they very dangerous. I rather tell thee what is to be feared than what I fear, for always I am Caesar. Come on my right hand with this ear is deaf, and tell me truly what thou thinkest of him.
He pulled me by the cloak. Would you speak with me?
Hi, Casca. Tell us what a chance today that Caesar loves so sad.
Why, you were with him, were you not?
I should not then ask Casca what a chance.
Why, there was a crown offered him, and being offered him, he put it by with the back of his hand thus, and then the people fell a-shouting.
What was the second noise for?
Why, for that, too.
They shouted thrice. What was the last cry for?
Why, for that, too.
Was the crown offered him thrice?
Aye, marry wast, and he put it by thrice, every time gentler than other, and at every putting by, mine honest neighbor shouted.
Who offered him the crown?
Why, Antony.
Tell us the manner of it, gentle Casca.
I can as well be hanged as tell the manner of it. It was mere foolery. I did not mark it. I saw Mark Antony offer him a crown, yet 'twas not a crown, neither. 'Twas one of these coronets, and as I told you, he put it by once, but for all that, to my thinking, he would fain have had it. Then he offered it to him again. Then he put it by again, but to my thinking, he was very loath to lay his fingers off it. And then he offered it the third time. He put it the third time by, and still as he refused it, the rabblement hooted and clapped their chapped hands and threw up their sweaty nightcaps and uttered such a deal of stinking breath because Caesar refused the crown that it had almost choked Caesar. For he swooned and fell down at it, and for mine own part, I durst not laugh for fear of opening my lips and receiving the bad air.
But soft, I pray you. What, did Caesar swoon?
He fell down in the marketplace and foamed at mouth and was speechless.
Is that like he hath the falling sickness?
No, Caesar hath it not. But you and I, and honest Casca, we have the falling sickness.
I know not what you mean by that, but I am sure Caesar fell down. If the Tigrag people did not clap him and hiss him according as he pleased and displeased them as they used to do the players in the theatres, I am no true man.
What said he when he came unto himself?
Marry, before he fell down, when he perceived the common herd was glad he refused the crown, he plucked me ope his doublet and offered them his throat to cut. And I had been a man of any occupation, if I would not have taken him at a word, I would I might go to hell among the rogues. And so he fell. When he came to himself again, he said if he had done or said anything amiss, he desired their worships to think it was his infirmity. Three or four wenches where I stood cried, "Alas, good soul!" and forgave him with all their hearts. But there's no heed to be taken of them. If Caesar had stabbed their mothers, they would have done no less.
And after that, he came thus sad away?
Aye.
Did Cicero say anything?
Aye, he spoke Greek.
To what effect?
Nay, and I tell you that, I'll ne'er look you in the face again. But those that understood him smiled at one another and shook their heads. But for mine own part, it was Greek to me. I could tell you more news, too. Morellus and Flavius, for pulling scarves off Caesar's images, are put to silence.
What?
Fare you well. There was more foolery yet, if I could remember it.
Will you sup with me tonight, Casca?
No, I am promised forth.
Will you dine with me tomorrow?
Aye. If I be alive, and your mind hold, and your dinner worth the eating.
Good. I will expect you.
So. Farewell, both.
What a blunt fellow is this, Grandigue. He was quick metal when he went to school.
So he is now, in execution of any bold or noble enterprise, however he puts on this tardy form. This rudeness is a sauce to his good wit, which gives men stomach to digest his words with better appetite.
And so it is. But this time I will leave you. Tomorrow, if you please to speak with me, I will come home to you. Or if you will, come home to me, and I will wait for you.
I will do so. Till then, think of the world. Well, Brutus, thou art noble. Yet I see thy honorable medal may be wrought from that it is disposed. Therefore it is meet that noble minds keep ever with their likes. For who so firm that cannot be seduced?
Caesar doth bear me hard, but he loves Brutus.
If I were Brutus now and he were Cassius, he should not humor me. I will this night in several hands, in at his windows throw, as if they came from several citizens' writings, all tending to the great opinion that Rome holds of his name, wherein obscurely Caesar's ambition shall be glanced at. And after this, let Caesar seat him sure, for we will shake him. Or worse days endure.
Good evening, Casca. Brought you Caesar home? Why are you breathless and why stare you so?
Are you not moved?
All this way of earth shakes like a thing infirm. Well, Cicero, I have seen tempests when the scolding winds have rived the knotty oaks, and I have seen the ambitious ocean swell, and rage and foam to be exalted with the threatening clouds, but never till tonight. Never till now did I go through a tempest dropping fire. Either there is a civil strife in heaven, or else the world, too saucy with the gods, incenses them to send destruction.
Why saw you anything more wonderful?
A common slave. You know him well by sight.